Let's get into the book of Proverbs. The book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 2 is where we are. And so today we will look at the whole Proverb chapter 2. And let's go ahead and read the first verse, chapter 2, verse 1. My son, if you will receive my words and hide my commandments with you, so that you incline your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding. Yes, if you cry after knowledge and lift up your voice for understanding, if you seek her as silver and search for her as for hid treasures, then shall you understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. And so we want to understand the fear of the Lord. We want to find the knowledge of God. And so this instruction in the first five verses, I wanted to point out two things here. Number one, verse two, or verse one of chapter two, it says, hide my commandments with you. That reminds us of a very famous verse in the scriptures, Psalm 119, verse 11. Your word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against you. And so in our pilgrimage and our desire to not sin against the Lord, we want to hide his word in our heart. Hide my commandments with you is what it says there. And then in verse 4, talking about the wisdom, the knowledge, and the understanding, it talks here in verse 4, it says, if you seek her as silver and search for her as for hid treasures, a hard, aggressive seeking, a hard, aggressive search, a desire, a hunger and a thirst for righteousness. If you seek with that diligence, with that heart of yours in a full way, seeking as for silver and searching as for hid treasure, then you shall understand the fear of the Lord. And so the Lord is really opening up a real strong exhortation here. And of course, Jesus said it this way, ask and you will receive, seek and you will find, knock and the door will be open to you. And actually in the verbiage that's used there, it means if you will continue to ask, if you will continue to seek, if you will continue to knock, these things will happen, be open to you. You will receive wisdom, understanding, and knowledge. And God will bring you into this wonderful, life-giving relationship with him. So we wanted to kind of center in on that a little bit. You know, when I was thinking about this, I began to think about treasure hunts. Because as a family, we oftentimes did treasure hunts when the boys were growing up in different ways. And I remember one in particular with Josh, our second son. He wanted a Mach 7-7, and he had to say it just the right way, Mach 7-7, for his birthday. Well, what is that? Well, that was the Cadillac class of boogie boards, and that's what he wanted for his birthday. And so the Lord laid it on our hearts to have a treasure hunt for him after we bought that particular boogie board for him. And so we would have clues here and there throughout the house, and he began the treasure hunt. And you know, the Lord says to us, you must become as little children, that we are the children of God. As many as received Jesus Christ have the power to become the children of God. He says he gives power to become the children of God. The Lord's so in love with kids, and he wants us to be like kids in many ways. And you know, you notice a child as he's on his treasure hunt or her, that the excitement builds. And as they go to each clue, they're going, well, I just wonder what it is. Could it be the Mach 7-7? You never know. And it's just building and the excitement. And you know, nothing else matters at that time. Nothing else matters. Just finding that treasure. And so he's going behind this door and that door and under the bed, there's a note and stuff. And he finally comes to a textbook that I actually brought from my college textbooks, the 9 Fundamentals of Management. And so he unwraps that book, and he doesn't really like to read much anyway, but the 9 Fundamentals of Management wasn't exactly what he was looking for, you know what I'm saying? I picked the most boring title I could think of, and man, I'm telling you, that class was boring. It was just plain monotony, you know? Anyway, but inside that book, oh yeah, there's the final note that says, go next door to the next door neighbor, knock on his door, and ask him if he has anything for you. And so he brings out the Mach 7-7, and complete joy burst into the air with this finding of this treasure on this treasure hunt. And so I share that to put a picture in your mind about what is God saying here. Oh, he wants us to seek him and search for him as for hid treasures. And that it becomes a tremendous find in our lives. It becomes a source of great joy as we get the wisdom, the understanding, and the knowledge, the fear of the Lord, the respect for him. It's so clean. It's so good. It's so deep. Now, with that, I'd like to turn with you to Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11. Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11. Now, Jeremiah 29:11 is a verse we know well, hopefully, and we quote a lot here. It says this, I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace. And that is such a wonderful thing to know. When he's thinking about you, which is more than the sand upon the seashore, that's how much he thinks about you. He's not thinking thoughts of ugliness. He's thinking thoughts of peace. We having peace with God through Jesus Christ. And also to have peace with one another, to work on that, to really be mindful of that. And so these thoughts of peace are so awesome to know that God, that's what he's thinking about you. And he goes on and says, not of evil, thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you an expected end, or another translation, a future and a hope. He has a future for you, not just in heaven, but on the way there. It's not here arriving at heaven, but it's in learning to enjoy the journey, to actually know that God is wanting you to have a good future here on the earth before you go into eternity, the perfect future. And hope, oh, hope springing up on every side, just giving you a transformation in your mind and heart towards life and your life and how you relate to the world, with a hope that there's something good around the next turn, every turn, because all things are working together for bad. No, all things are working together for good, for those who love God and are called according to his purpose. There is a tremendous future from this moment on and from that time that you accept Jesus as your Savior and that you belong to the household of God. And that you are abiding in Christ, remaining in him, looking to him for every turn in your life. This is what comes to pass. And now let's go on and read down. It says, then shall you call upon me, and you shall go and pray unto me, and I will listen to you. There's the promise right there. I will listen to you. I will hearken unto you. And now verse 13 is what we tie into chapter 2 of Proverbs. It says, and you shall seek me and find me. When you shall search for me with all of your heart. Nothing else matters. There's a hid treasure. I'm on a quest. And I'm going after that hid treasure with all of my heart. And of course, that hid treasure is the Lord, his wisdom, to gain his understanding, which is a gift. He opened their understanding to understand the scriptures. And that's what he does with every one of us. And so we see this tremendous seeking. Now, I'd like to say this before we leave this section of searching, seeking, that actually the Lord is so good at bringing us to this place. And I thank God for that. I thank the Lord that he works with us to bring us to this place of 100% of just, Lord, I just need you. I need what your mind is on this particular situation. Lord, I just want to grow in the respect for you, the love for you, the fear of you, that you're my good dad, and he will bring you there. And there's an example of this in the New Testament, and I'm glad that we can look at this example, because this is a difficult scripture for many, and was for me as I struggle with it. Jesus' interaction with a woman up in the area of Lebanon, actually, which we would call today Sidon and Tyre. And so let's turn to that situation and try to understand the scripture a little better in light of Proverbs 2 and Jeremiah 29 in seeking the Lord with everything in our heart. And so let's go to Matthew 15, 21. Matthew chapter 15 and verse 21. Now Jesus was going on his mission trip, going here and there and everywhere. He actually would travel no more than a circumference of 300 miles from his hometown in his lifetime, and yet he became the most famous preacher ever, only 300 miles from home. In his greatest adventure, but of course, going here, there, as far as he could walk. And then in verse 21, here it says, then Jesus went from there. He departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon. These are sea coast on the Mediterranean Sea, towns, villages, that we can call them cities, because in their heyday, they were thriving cities. Tyre and Sidon, up in modern-day, really, Lebanon. I think they're across the border from Israel. And behold, a woman of Canaan, actually a Syrophoenician woman, who is not a Jew, came to ask for Jesus' help. And this woman came and out of the same coast, and she cried unto him, verse 22, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. Actually calling him the Messiah, because son of David meant the one that was to come and sit on the throne of David, as God had promised him, I will establish your throne forever. And all throughout the Old Testament, then it talks about the Messiah coming and the son of David. And so she is recognizing Jesus for who he is. He's the anointed one of God. And she says to him, my daughter is grievously vexed with a devil. And now a very strange thing happens to us that know the Lord. As you read the next verse, it says, but he, that is Jesus, answered her not a word. He ignored her. You're going, what is going on with this? The Lord is ignoring this desperate woman. Her daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. And then his disciples began to beseech him, saying, send her away, for she cries after us. So she saw that Jesus was ignoring her, but she didn't allow it to get to her and stomp off angry. Rather, she began to bug his disciples. He's not listening to me. Can you do anything about this? And it says crying, so probably in much more of emotion than I'm bringing. And they were so bugged with her, said, Lord, can you just send her away? You know, she's really bothering us. But he answered and said, I am not sent but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And that is kind of a disclosive statement, isn't it? Dear woman, here you are with this problem. Your daughter's hurting, but I'm going to be telling you, you know, I'm just going to deal with the Jews. I'm not going to help you. You're a Syrophoenician woman. You're a woman of Canaanite. That's what it sounds like, doesn't it, to you and I? And it's just hard to take that in, that he would say that to her. But it gets worse. Then came she and worshiped him. She's worshiping Jesus now and says, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, it is not good to take the children's bread, which would be the Jewish nation's bread, and cast it to the dogs. My, he's calling her a dog. And you go, what? And you know, but you know, let me stop for a second there and just say this. I heard a Holy Ghost preacher years ago that was preaching on this. And he says, you know what I would do if Jesus called me a dog? Because Jesus is Jesus, right? And we know he's the lover of our soul. He wants me to bark, I'll bark, kind of thing, you know. And so I like that. Now, to kind of lighten this response, you probably read this or heard this preached many times, and it is the truth, that from the Greek language there's many different words, not many different words, but different words for dog. And one is the wild dog in the street. But this word is little puppy dog. And this was common, and it's probably common in your kitchen too, if you have a pet that you love, that the little dogs hang out underneath the table. And there's probably usually somebody in the family that is a Scrooge and doesn't want you to feed the dog under the table. But then there's the little kids that, you know, they wait till that person's not watching and give them something to eat. This is what happened in their society, that they would take the bread, the children's bread, from underneath the table, the little doggies. And so her response is wonderful, as she doesn't give up. And I really feel that what Jesus is doing here is drawing her out. He knew that he was going to heal her daughter. He knew that he would minister to this dear one. But he was drawing her out. He was building that strong desire in her to experience the glory of God in Jesus Christ, to have her dear daughter healed, because she knew and was knowing fuller and fuller in the reactions that she brought that he was and is God, and he truly is the Messiah, and he truly could heal, and truly, if he spoke the word, her daughter would be healed. Jesus Christ. And you know, there's a video made by this, and I like how the video did it, because it shows a little smile on Jesus's face. You can almost see him winking at the disciples as he's drawing this woman closer and closer to the final deal. It's like a treasure hunt. And so she responds and says, truth, Lord, truth. Yes, we don't give the bread to the dogs, except for the children. Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat the crumbs which fall from their master's table. And Jesus broke out in what I feel was a very emotional response. He says, oh, woman, great is your faith. Be it done unto thee as you will. She could have asked anything right then. Well, how about a couple of Cadillacs, Lord? No. Oh, woman, great is your faith. Be it unto thee even as you will. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. And so then you go, Lord, I didn't understand what you were doing. Forgive me. You know, as he ignored her. And sometimes, you know, it seems like the Lord might ignore you. Anybody have that experience before where you thought the Lord was ignoring you? He's just building you. Seems like the Lord just gave the wrong response. It was a response that you took offense at, or some circumstance that he allowed in your life and you took offense at. You have to wait till the end. You have to patiently wait for our God, who we know is the lover of our souls. And we need sometimes what he's doing is building. He's building. He's building you, searching the understanding, searching for the wisdom, searching for what he's doing. And God will reveal to you and bring you to a place of understanding and wisdom, as he said. Then you will have understanding. And it is a powerful thing. So I thank God for this woman. And I thank God for her tenacity in not giving up. And God doesn't want you to give up. You just seek, you seek, and you will find. It will happen when we seek for him with our whole heart, and not really in a kind of complacent or nonchalant, apathetic way. Yeah, Lord, I was kind of wondering what you might think about this. And not, you know, just kind of going on with that kind of lack of desire. But that desire builds, and that desire comes, and God is the author of it. And as we then come to that place of seeking him with our whole heart, man, is the answer ever there. Wow. Wonderful God. I've shared this before. I remember one time we were coming down the mountains and from Big Bear with the four boys. They were very small, and it was before seatbelts. They were all bouncing around in the back of the station wagon. And can you imagine that actually happened? I mean, it's funny, before the laws, you know, I mean, it's just amazing what kids did, you know. So halfway down the mountain, we lost our brakes. It was a big Plymouth station wagon, you know, those big kind of giant Plymouth station with fins and everything. And, you know, never passed a gas station. And so we got stuck halfway down the hill. And I'm thinking, Lord, what are we going to do? Four kids, and Sherry and I sitting there, no cell phones. That was before cell phones. Forget that. Imagine that. No cell phones. Can you even begin to imagine that, you know? And so there you are. What are you going to do? I'm just sitting there. And so I put my head on the steering wheel, and I said, God, if you've never heard a prayer before from me. And I began to seek God with all of my heart. You know, you cry out in a time like that, what are we going to do? And just then, a white van drove up behind me. And the guy got out and said, what's the matter? I said, my brakes are gone, and I don't know, I got four kids, and, you know. And there's no way I'm going to leave him with the four kids, right? No, the hatchet man thrives, right? You know, forget that. So there we are. But he said, you know what? I've got the same brakes in this car. It was a Dodge van or something. I forget. I don't know anything about these things. But he just told me, the brakes are the same. These brakes will not fail. They're designed to, even though it goes to the floor, you'll still be able to, you know, inch your way down the mountain. You'll be fine. And for some reason, I just felt from the Lord that was an answer to prayer, and we'd be okay. And so we just went ahead and inched down, and sure enough, we got there and got all the way home, and everything was hunky-dory. But only God could think of the answer. And you can see that. And I mean, for me to have the courage to try that with my kids when you're halfway down from Big Bear on the mountain. But God, even though it seems impossible, has an answer. And as we seek him with our whole heart, that prayer is heartfelt. I need great help, and I need it now, Lord. He is there. He's ready. And he brings it. That's a new scene we have in our society now, doing it. He's going to bring it, man, and he brings it. And so it is a wonderful thing. Well, let's go on back to Proverbs chapter 2 now, and we want to go on for another blessing here in this chapter. Proverbs chapter 2. And we read now on from verse 5 is where we were. Now it says in verse 6, for the Lord gives wisdom, out of his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. He lays up sound wisdom for the righteous, He is a buckler or a protector to them that walk uprightly. He keeps the paths of judgment and preserves the way of his saints. He is a preserving God. Another translation of this, that he protects the way of his faithful ones. Now notice the word faithful ones there. These are the folks that are abiding in Jesus Christ. As we abide in the Lord, and that just means to remain in him, asking him, seeking him, discovering over and over again, seeking him with all of our hearts. And yes, we make mistakes, and yes, we get wayward sometimes, but it ends for the faithful one in coming back in faith to Christ for the forgiveness of that sin. And if we think bad thoughts in a day or whatever, or get waylaid and we come back to him, he's always faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness, squeaky clean, white as snow. And so these are the ones we're talking about here. He preserves the way of his saints, those that rely and depend upon him. He will preserve your way. He will protect the way of his faithful ones. You know, I think about Hannah, and she was a saint in the Old Testament, and she couldn't have children, or she didn't have children for years and years and years and years. And finally, the Lord granted her a son, Samuel. And then after that, she was able to have other children. And so it was a great blessing to Hannah. So much so, she wrote a song. And it's known as the Song of Hannah. And it's in chapter 2 of 1 Samuel. And I'm just going to give you one verse from that song that applies to our teaching today about being protected, being preserved. She says this, "He," that is the Lord, this is in her song, "will keep the feet of his saints." And then we picture walking in the way. We use our feet to walk through life. And so we've given this promise through Hannah in her song, "He will keep the feet of his saints. And the wicked shall be silent in darkness. For by strength shall no man prevail." And so in my own strength, I'm not going to prevail. I'm not going to be able to walk through this life successfully, spiritually, without Jesus Christ. Without me, you can do nothing. And so Hannah is rejoicing in the fact that the Lord blessed her and delivered her. He will keep the feet of his saints. Now, there's a trilogy of three verses in the Bible, and I call it a trilogy because it's my trilogy, for New Testament doctrine, teaching, to really firm up what we're seeing in Proverbs 2 about God's preserving power. So let's look at these scriptures. Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3. And so we're going to read verses 3 through 5. And the touch with Proverbs 2 is in verse 5. It says in verse 3 of 1 Peter 1, "Blessed be the Lord, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again." I love that clause. He's begotten us again. That means he's born you again. You've been born again. He's begotten us again. "Unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible," which means it's never going to be taken away in any way, shape, or form, "undefiled," there's no sin in the inheritance we're going to receive in heaven. Here on earth, you might get an inheritance from someone, and maybe your brother or sister fought with you over it or something. And there's always problems, that can arise in certain situations. I was very blessed with an inheritance that was left to my boys. And they called me on the phone. The oldest one called me and said he talked to all the brothers. And the brothers said, "Dad, there's no way we're going to take this money unless you get a share of it. And it was $30,000 that I got. And you know, I was so blessed with that, of course, financially, but I was blessed with what was inside of my boys. That they didn't go the greedy way, and there are many families that fight like cats and dogs over a desk or something that grandma's almost dead, you know, and I'm getting that. It's horrible what happens in the world, but it doesn't have to be that way in Christian families, you know? But we are going to receive an inheritance in heaven that's incorruptible and undefiled by any of the ways of the world. And that fades not away, it just doesn't go away. Reserved in heaven for you. You have a reservation in heaven. Do you have a reservation? Yes, I do. Open up the gate and I'll show you. And your reservation, of course, is Jesus Christ. And that's how you get in. And then in verse 5 it says, who are kept or guarded. You are kept and guarded by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. That actually it is the power of God that keeps you, that preserves you, that protects you. You know, the Lord is very strong. He's got huge biceps. He's got really broad shoulders, and he's got a brain that is as big as the universe. And you don't think that he can protect you? You don't think that he can preserve you? He is there to do that for you. Let's go to the next scripture, 1 Thessalonians 5:23. First Thessalonians 5:23. Now it says this, is a wonderful verse. It's so wonderful to claim and to bring close to your heart. It says, the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God, your whole spirit, that's where Jesus lives. He's a life-giving spirit. We ask him into our heart. And he comes and makes you spiritually alive, because he's a life-giving spirit. And soul, that's who you are, mind, will, and emotions. And your body, your shell, be preserved blameless, unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then verse 24 is so powerful in connection with 23. Faithful is he who called you, who also will do it. Who's going to do it? Jesus. The finished work on the cross is what preserves you blameless. It's what brings you into a fullness with Christ. So as we abide in Christ, important clause. I can't guarantee you anything, nor will God guarantee you anything, if you're not abiding, remaining in Jesus Christ, bringing the sin back to him and confessing it. Walking close to him in your life, hanging on to the hem of his garment with all your strength, you will be presented faultless, blameless before the Lord one day, preserved, kept by the power of God, and directed along. It's a wonderful promise. The last one is Jude 24. This is my favorite. Jude 24. Now Jude is a little tiny book right before Revelation. It says, Jude 24, now unto him that is able to keep you from falling. Isn't that a beautiful thought? Just think about that for a minute. He is able to keep you from falling. Hannah, he will keep the feet of his saints and to present you faultless, blameless, on the other verse, faultless here, before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. And then part of the song that we sang today, verse 25, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen. Amen. These are some great scriptures. You know, in thinking of these scriptures, now you might not be of the personality that I am, probably not, but you might have felt the same things that I have. We come to Jesus, we're doing the best we can, and we make mistakes, and we're going along, but as we are abiding in Him, bringing it back to Him, the Lord's picture that He gives us is that when we see Him face to face, we're going to be faultless and blameless at His throne with exceeding joy. And the way I picture this is actually like walking on a country road. And I see off in the distance a white figure walking towards me. And it's Jesus. I begin to see it's Jesus because I see the white hair, and Revelation tells us He's got the white, snowy white hair. And He's coming toward me. But I don't see His expression yet, you know? And there's doubts sometimes. How am I going to be received? When I see Him, is it going to be a free flow, or will it be, you know, just maybe just catching a glimpse of something that I did, you know, 30 years ago or whatever? How's that going to be? And I believe that these scriptures we've looked at and studying from Proverbs 2 and going on and thinking about Hannah and just understanding what these scriptures are saying, that when I do see His expression, it will be expression of perfect love and total acceptance. I love Ephesians 1:6, where it says that you are accepted in the Beloved, that what you will feel is not being accepted even as a servant, or accepted as a good helper, or someone that tried kind of good but didn't quite measure up, you know, those feelings. But because of the cross and the blood of Jesus, I'm going to see a perfect acceptance in the Beloved, in the household of God, as my older brother is receiving me, because indeed He is. He's the firstborn among many brothers. And as a loving father. And all that's left to do then is a big hug and a love and just a heart bursting with gratefulness to what He did on the cross. And so I want to encourage you to abide in Jesus Christ. Abide in Him. Stay with Him, walk with Him, live this life that we have been studying in Proverbs, first part of chapter 2, to just latch on to the Lord. Allow Him to work with your life, and He will do that. If you've accepted Him as your Savior, He will do it and bring you to a place of a total heart seeking His will. And then through faith, with these scriptures and all scriptures, I believe, just knowing that in that day you will be accepted lovingly and wonderfully in every way. No one accepts people like Jesus Christ does. In our lives of sin and our moods and the things that we have with the relationships with other human beings, there will be times when you're not totally accepted. And for a sensitive person, that really hurts. But you live with that, and that's life. That's life, you know. But when you get to see Jesus, you will feel totally accepted. And I am looking forward to that day, because He understands me from my toes to my hairs on the head. And so for that reason, I'll never be dead, but living with Him, accepting me and accepting you as you've turned to Him, yeah, in every way. And so I rejoice in these scriptures and rejoice in the truth of them. Now let's I go back to Proverbs, and we still have a few minutes here. Just a couple more thoughts. Proverbs and chapter 2. Proverbs 2, and go on now to verses 9 and 10. Then shalt thou understand righteousness and judgment and equity. Equity is like efficiency. It's like doing the best thing all the time the best way. Yea, every good path. When wisdom enters into your heart and knowledge is pleasant unto your soul. This word pleasant jumped right out at me, and I checked the modern translations, and it is the same word, pleasant. So we're good to go on pleasant here. Now, pleasant is to have pleasure in your soul. This is what makes receiving the wisdom of God easier and easier for the walking Christian, because you begin to understand and realize that there's a pleasant feeling about it in your soul. I mean, those that delight in the Lord, He will give them the desires of their heart. First He creates the desires, and then He fulfills them. And so when wisdom enters into your heart, and we know Jesus can be used as equivalent to wisdom because of 1 Corinthians 1:30, that God has made Christ Jesus to us wisdom. And so when wisdom, when Jesus enters into your heart, then knowledge is pleasant to the soul. So God is not some kind of hard master that is going to whip you into shape, although His disciplines sometimes seem hard, but at the end of it, it brings forth a peaceable fruit of righteousness, and that's what we want. And so this pleasure or pleasant thing, I believe, helps our soul to accept God's will and to go forward and know we can trust Him. He has us in mind. In Psalm 16, verses 5 and 6, it says that the Lord has, I forgot this again. Let's go back to Psalm, I forgot it last service. Psalm 16, somehow the other verses get me forgetting this one. I'm blaming it on something. Sorry, I just forgot it. Psalm 16. This is a messianic psalm about the resurrection of Jesus. Of course, these words apply to David, who wrote the psalm, and also to us these many years later. And it says in verses 5 and 6, the Lord of Psalm 16 is the portion of my inheritance and of my cup. You, Lord, maintain my lot. This is such a wonderful verse. It is the Lord that maintains your lot in life. No one can take it away from you. You know, we go through life and sometimes we feel threatened by others, more responsible, more gifted at whatever they do. And there's no place for me. Those kinds of feelings. But you see, as we trust the Lord, He maintains our lot. He takes care of that and just keeps you at what you're supposed to do. Simple as that. Very comforting thought. And then it says in verse 6, the lines are fallen unto me in pleasant places. Yea, I have a goodly heritage. So my heritage is good as I accept wisdom, accept Jesus into my heart. Then there's going to be a pleasantness in my soul. And we can describe that as perfect peace. So verse 6 is actually a construction verse. For you guys that work in construction, you'll understand this a little better. It's talking about plumb lines. And I think we even use these today, if I'm not mistaken, to make sure a wall is straight. You drop a plumb line, and it's called a plumb line because at the end there's a ball with a point on it. It's called a plumb, I guess. I mean, it would look like a plumb. Anyway, so the lines, the plumb lines as God is building your life are fallen into me in pleasant places. Wonderful promise. And then let's look at verse 11. You will show me the path of life. That's what we're talking about in Proverbs 2, the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures for 3 weeks. That's not what it says. At your right hand there are pleasures forevermore. God made you. He constructed you. He put the sinew and different things together inside you in your mother's womb. In the course of time, you were born. In the course of time, you were born again. And He is in charge. He's just sweeping you along. And He's laid the plumb lines in your whole life. And at His right hand are pleasures forevermore. What promises, what beautiful things said here about us in the first part of Proverbs 2. Second part of Proverbs 2, I'm taking 2 minutes on because it's negative. Let's go back to Proverbs chapter 2. And very simply, and it's easy to read through it fast because it shows what happens if you don't have wisdom. And it's one thing for a man and one thing for a woman. So Proverbs chapter 2. And we read, discretion shall preserve you. So there's a preservation word again. Understanding shall keep you. So that's where we want to be. First part of Proverbs 2. And then it says, to deliver you from what? The way of the evil man. From the man that speaks perverse things. Who leaves the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness. Who rejoice to do evil and delight in the perverseness of the wicked. Whose ways are crooked and they forward in their paths. And this is a King James word, forward, F-R-O-W-A-R-D, which means perverse. To deliver you from the strange woman. So here's the woman. Even from the stranger who flatters with her words, who forsakes the guide of her youth. This is really talking about a prostitute here. And forgets the covenant of her God. For her house inclines to death, and her paths unto the dead. None that go into her return again, neither take they hold of the paths of life, that you may walk in the way of good men and keep the paths of righteousness. For the upright shall dwell in the land, and the perfect shall remain in it. But the wicked shall be cut off from the earth, and the transgressors shall be rooted out of it. And so very strong example of unwisdom, and a course we want to steer totally from. If there's someone in your life that's a friend, that's a very perverse person, really takes delight in evil, kind of wanting to take you with him, exit stage left. Just go back to Proverbs first part. And there are women out there, and I suppose men, that forsake the guide of their youth, and they just want to actually bring down the righteous life. The Bible says this in the book of Proverbs further on. The adulterous woman searches for the perfect life. So if someone comes along and tries to catch you with her eyelids, and that's straight from Scripture. I try to stay with Scripture when talking about things like this. It says the adulterous woman searches for the perfect life, and also she will try to catch you with her eyelids. So if someone is extra flirtatious at work, you need to nip that in the bud right now. And just the eyelids, you know, the thing that they do in Hollywood. Just be careful. And just make a about face and just go the other way. Immediately. Don't mess with that. Don't play with that. And so the warning, the warnings for evil men and women that forsake the guide of their youth. This is where the rubber meets the road. It's just talking straight talk with us. The Lord's talking straight talk with us about examples of everyday living which are not wise. And I think we know that. So God help us with it. Well, let's stand. We'll let stay seated because we're going to have two songs. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your ability to preserve us, to protect us, to guide us, Lord, to put a hedge around us, Lord. We thank you, Father, that we have that reservation with you as we know Jesus. And Lord, I pray for each one that's gathered here. I know that most people here are Christians. Lord, just help each one of us to, when it comes time with fights with you or dealing with sin, that we confess it back up to you, Lord, and continue to abide in you. And we look forward, Lord, to being preserved in our walk and be presented faultless before you and blameless one day, sanctified holy body, soul, and spirit. And so we thank you, Lord, for these promises. And Lord, help us to steer totally clear of the evil man and perverse in his ways. Help us to give the witness and be careful not to fellowship with. And Lord, also for the woman or the man, we can reverse that too, that might be trying to flirt, trying to actually bring down the good life, the perfect life. So God, we want your life. Oh Lord, we want to be guarded. And so we thank you, Father. Thank you for the wisdom. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. If you need prayer for anything this day, the prayer room is wide open. I suppose that Donovan probably did that for us. God bless you, man. And you know, the Lord wants to just minister to you, just encourage you, just to show you his nature. And so I'd encourage you to pray, pray, pray. And so anyone needs prayer, God bless you in coming forward to have prayer, or just know that you can be talking to him all day long. God bless you and keep you in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Praise the Lord.